Hey, welcome to the Total Bitcoin Podcast Show. My name is Kevin Devane, the Total Connector. So really excited to have KES Bitcoin. You can find him on Twitter, who does tremendous, fascinating educational work, tutorials, videos, instructions, how to do this and that, running full node, buy non-KYC Bitcoin on peer-to-peer decentralized exchanges, and a spectrum of other necessary, really urgent educational materials. And yeah, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, but essentially how to buy Bitcoin on a non-KYC platform such as BISC, BISQ network. And without further ado, this is my talk with KES Bitcoin. Let me know what you think. Please give it a share, retweet, like, follow me. Follow also KES Bitcoin and subscribe, please. Thank you so much. And this is my interview, my talk with KES Bitcoin. All right, we're live. We're live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Welcome to the show, KES. Thanks so much for your time. How are you doing?
Great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, KES. I'm really excited to, to have this conversation with you about, main topic is how to buy Bitcoin on a non-KYC or KYC-less exchange platform. KES, you want to talk a little bit, how'd you get, what do you want to tell about yourself? How'd you get to Bitcoin? What's your path to Bitcoin?
Everyone seems to have a similar story. I found it really early and didn't do enough with it. I found it in 2010. I think I got a Blockstream, blockchain.info or whatever it was called back then, a wallet. I don't remember if anything happened, but I didn't do it. Then it just vanished. Bitcoin, I think I read that article, whatever that famous article was, in 2010. I know it was 2010, but I was just busy with other things and, getting my life straightened out. So it wasn't time for me to really get into Bitcoin. And then I found it again in 2015, and that's when the love affair began. Full on love affair. And here I am. It's just Bitcoin makes sense to me on so many levels, and it just resonates with me. I mean, it's almost like love at first sight. It's so difficult to describe, because I think when you have a certain set of experiences, I experienced a lot of bad things. I've always been an entrepreneur at a very young age. And when I, when eBay first came out, I was selling anything that I could scrap up, on eBay. And this is in 2099, maybe. And I remember selling a PlayStation 1, and I got a money order, and I sent out the PlayStation, and I cashed a money order, and I get a letter from the US Postal Service that I cashed a fake money order and I owe them money. And I was like, what the fuck is this? How can I be responsible for this after the fact? A money order is supposed to be the next best thing to the cash, yet I'm still on the hook. And then years later, I had issues with PayPal too. So I came into this understanding the problems with the traditional system, which a lot of people may not have. If everything is rosy the whole time, you don't really understand why Bitcoin's valuable. So, my unique set of experiences made it very clear right away. The hard cap, limited supply, finite supply, just makes sense. So,
Oh, did you get, like that's a really important question. Like, did you, when did you get, like, for the first time, the essence of, like, the absolute scarcity of Bitcoin? Because that's, like, if I had, like, understood, I mean, at all what money is, you know, I mean, we, you know, who learns that shit anyway? You know, it's like, we never get taught, like, what is money? What is scarcity? So when did you get that? Or how did you understand, like, absolute scarcity?
I don't know. You know, I didn't know really much about money either. It's only because I found Bitcoin that I learned about, like, Austrian economics and game theory, like all of these things, only because I needed to better understand Bitcoin. Otherwise, you know, who gives a shit, really? Like, most people aren't even aware, right? Not that it's all very interesting stuff, but you know, it could be a bit esoteric because it doesn't always, you know, apply to, like, you know, practical everyday things. And most people are involved with practical everyday things and, you know, making their life move forward day by day. So, I think, you know, I don't have like some great answer. It's just, I just understood it, like, viscerally, that something that is limited in supply, absolutely limited in supply, is extremely valuable. And it just made sense, intuitively made sense. I never went on a shitcoin spree. Like, I didn't get into shitcoins, then Bitcoin. I didn't need to understand or learn, you know, by burning my hand on the fire, why Bitcoin's more valuable. It was always Bitcoin. And I remember telling people, when Ethereum was like $4 and they were saying, oh, well, this is cheap. This is way cheap. Like, what about this? And I'm like, no, like, and I explained to them why. And I'm like, I can't put my, you know, my money is energy. It's my energy. Right. And so you invest your energy in things and then you have a association with those, right? You have a mental association. You literally have a connection through your energy, which is your value, is stored energy, right? That's essentially what money is. You had now have a connection, and I didn't want any part of my energy involved in Ethereum. I think it's absolute garbage. So I missed out on the run from $7 to $1,000. I could have made a lot of money. I didn't. Now I have family members who did. And when it went up to that, I was like, sell it. You just fucking sell it. And they did, and they made money, and good for them. You know, I didn't, I lost out. And maybe being a maximalist or a shitcoin minimalist, whatever the term is now, maybe that's to my detriment, but you know what, fuck it.
Right. Well, listen, Kiss, I mean, you put out really great stuff. There's just really a handful of people who put out super educational materials, tutorials, whatever, videos, instructions, like as I'm showing now for my YouTube viewers. Your Twitter handle is just simple Kiss Bitcoin with one S, KIS Bitcoin. And that's your website, keepitsimplebitcoin.com. And what I love, you know, about your approach and, you know, your ethos and the way you handle this whole thing is, like, I feel you really empathize, you know, with the average user out there. Like, you know, there's just a handful of people out there who do great stuff, like you, like, who is it? Like Ben from, what's it called? A BTC Session, Ketan of Ministry of Nodes, who else? Bitcoin Q&A. And there's just a few people, right, that really put out instructions, which I think, you know, can the average user, really average noob, can follow, understand, you know, comprehend. So how'd you get to I mean, what was it like a process for you?
Yeah, it was. I mean, look, I the longer I've been in Bitcoin, the more it was like, I have to do something to support this. If I don't do something, then, like, I felt like I was letting myself down. Like, I really do think this, and, you know, some people might think this is like a bombastic statement, but I think Bitcoin is one of the most important things on this planet right now, mm-hmm. because of the potential it has. And if I if I look back on my life and I missed the opportunity to be involved in making a difference in whatever way I could, then I would be regretful of that. And so it's, that's kind of the intention, you know, I went in, into it with. So it was a long process because I didn't know how I could, you know, add value to this, right? I learned Python. I taught myself Python. I thought maybe I could do something there. And that's not really my thing. Like, there was definitely no value I could add there. You know, I took Justin Moon's class. He used to do a Build boot camp. Uh-huh. Yeah, I did that. When it was like, it was free. He was still like doing the beta, right? So he was testing it and stuff. And I took that. And that was after I taught myself Python for like maybe 6 or 8 months. So, and I went through that and it was just like, you know, this is not for me. I'm not going to be doing this. So it's like, what else can I do? What else can I do? What else can I do? And, you know, eventually I found the 402 payment requireds videos, and he had a video setting up Electrum Personal Server, which I used because I didn't know how to set that up. And after seeing that, I was like, you know, this is really helpful. And I felt like his videos were a bit more technical. So I thought I should make videos where it's geared toward, you know, like my grandmother or like a 10-year-old, you know?
Exactly. That's what they call just, empathy. Yeah.
Yeah. You just walk through it and they learn how to use something in the way that I feel like is important, but they just walk through the process. And hopefully in the process, they learn about why, oh, maybe I should think about privacy. Maybe I should think about security or how this works or how that works, because there must be a reason why the video is saying to do it this way or to do it that way. So, you know, I'm not doing anything revolutionary. I'm doing something, you know, pretty basic, right? It's just like I record videos of me using software and I explain what to do. It's not rocket science, but no one.
Yeah, but it's essential. It's basic, but essential. Yeah. That's what's missing. This is what I'm, you know, imploring like all kinds of people around me. Like, you know, I mean, this the thing is, you know, it's like, I've been talking to a couple of people now later, like, you know, we got to get out of this echo chamber. I think that I think there's a lot of people in the Bitcoin sector, brilliant people, really brilliant people, you know, a bazillion times more intelligent, more knowledgeable than me. But we are sort of, I feel like, and I get that from my girlfriend also, she says, you know, it's beautiful what you guys are doing, but you guys are living in a echo chamber. You're in a Bitcoin bubble. It's like we are in all bubbles, but we got to go outside. Most people are not even on Twitter, probably, you know?
You're right. I agree with you completely. I think, you know, again, everything that I'm doing and, you know, what I started last year, I've always felt like I'm just preparing for the time. The time is still not now. Like my doing this website, the reason I made the website was because I always wanted to do this. But when I started seeing people on YouTube get censored, mm-hmm. I was like, I have to, because it is so stupid for me to build anything on top of a centralized platform. And I want to have my website. I want to have my email list because email is I think the best, most direct way to be able to communicate without having someone intervene. I mean, obviously, you know, that I guess could be intervened too, but like YouTube could just, you could build, you know, Tone Vase has like 100,000 subscribers and I think he depends on it, which is not smart in my opinion, but he could just get his legs chopped off in an instant. And then what the fuck is he gonna do, you know? So everything that I've built is there, but it's not time yet. Like the rush is not here, the people are not here, like, the new people that really need my videos are not here. People on Bitcoin Twitter don't, you know, some of them I think are finding value from it and that's great, but I'm not making my videos for that crowd. I'm making my videos for the people that are coming, and I don't know when they're coming. I can feel like there will be a day when they're coming, but I don't think it's, you know, it could still be a year out, or I don't even know. And this stuff gets dated. So I'm going to keep making videos. But I don't think the time is now. Everyone thinks the next bull market is around the corner. And I'm not feeling it, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, regarding Bitcoin Twitter, I try to limit my time on Twitter, but I think it's important to constantly check our biases and look at our blind spots. And so lately, you know, with all the stuff that's going on in the world, I'm much more tuned into like, you know, these economic, these financial podcasts. And I kind of want to hear what's going on with these central banks and the central bank plumbing and this madness, because, you know, I think that these things are way, you know, macroeconomics and the global politics and stuff is much more a factor of like the price and stuff than just stock to flow and just all this financialization of, you know, this quantification, hyper quantification.
Yeah, and also intellectualization. I think we're exactly over intellectualizing and yeah, putting too much expectation on right, the intelligence, not intelligence, you know, it's like comprehension level, or, you know, I mean, we're all on different levels, but I think we gotta like really, really empathize with the average user and with the average, whatever, human being out there. And I mean, what do we want? Why are we doing this? So that, you know, so that Bitcoin becomes rooted, so that these, you know, criminal cryptocratic central banking fiat system becomes obsolete, but that comes only by human action, and human action, right, you know, is comes from a desire, a need, you know, a necessity. But again, it comes back. That's why, you know, I want to talk to you about usability. Now let's get to the practical question, because now we're on your website. You know, it's real beautiful, like beautiful overview. So what have you like you have got like some beautiful resources and videos. Do you want to like
I have to add to that. Yeah. So the videos are there. The videos have been, you know, being made for the last year. I want to start writing blog posts too. I just, you know, and add to the resources. I just have to find the time. You know, these videos take so much time to make. Mm-hmm. So that's one downside of it. But another kind of intention I have with this whole website and the first blog that I want to write is how to, you know, the whole ethos, one of the most beautiful things about Bitcoin is that it allows you to be just a being, right? There's no there's no KYC, there's no anything, right? So you're just one being on the internet, and you can start a hobby, start a business. You don't need to have your personal information out there. You can do everything in a way that you are protecting, you're maintaining your anonymity, right? Because Bitcoin is pseudonymous, right? So you have addresses, but it's not tied to your identity. And I want to show people, look, you can really do this. Like I did this, and explain how I got my domain names, and how I set up my website, how I set up my web hosting, like how I did all this stuff, how, you know, BTC Pay server, I'm in the process of integrating that, how you can do that, and like how you can make a hobby, you know, actually make a hobby, maybe bring, you know, people can donate, or you can sell stuff, obviously limited to digital, but also how to do it, you know, how to tie in the physical world with your privacy and security. So I've set up something, and I don't know how I'm going to describe it, but where I can physically get things shipped to me now, where I'm obfuscating my address. So you're never going to know what my real address is. You're going to send it to essentially like a dead drop, and I have a service that then sends it to me. So you're not, you know, so everything has a layer of protection right now.
You're almost like Jameson Lopp, like who obfuscate, or like this.
Everything, you know, all that stuff, you know, those articles about doing those things are important, but he has to do so much more because he's a public figure. Well, I want to show people you don't need to be, you know, have a picture or a name attached to you, just like build a brand, you know, and you can do the same thing. Because as a Bitcoiner, I don't want anyone to know I'm a Bitcoiner, yet I still want I still want to, you know, go out there and yell, you know, at the top of my lungs about Bitcoin, right? So I don't feel like you need to make the compromise. And I'm not putting anyone that does down, because if that's what you resonate with, do that. But this is what I resonate with, and I want to show people you can do it this way as well. And maybe you don't want to, you know, it's, this is not just about Bitcoin. Maybe you just want to start a hobby or a business. So, you know, follow along. You can do it this way too. Like, there are so many resources. The point is, you don't have to bend the knee, you know, and just give all your information and have everything out there because they say you do. You know, it's completely legal to do it in, to preserve your privacy and to do these things where you're not opening up potentials for attack. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. So, Kees, I mean, we plan to talk about, you know, the practicality or the practical process of how to do like a Bitcoin purchase on a non-KYC, or I don't know, should I call it non-KYC or KYC less, but it is KYC free, right? I mean, the BISC platform, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's KYC free. It's peer-to-peer. So right. the only person that sees your KYC is your trading partner. So that's way better than having to put your information in a central repository, right? Mm-hmm. You only have to trust that your trading partner is not, you know, not a someone nefarious, right? That takes, you know, holds your information. But still, they just have your whatever personal identifier information with your bank. And that's only if you do a bank transfer. If you do, you know, I can't really speak to like a postal money order or any kind of mail service. I think you could do cash in the mail, and you can certainly do face-to-face.
Yeah. So
face-to-face completely removes all of that, right?
Exactly.
I've never done any of those. I've only used the bank transfers. You know, I'm in the US, and that's worked out phenomenally for me. And I think that is a great balance of security, privacy, usability. And I've been doing that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Kees, let's try have you, you know, screen share if we can manage this. I hope I don't have to make you host, because some things doesn't work anymore. It used to be on Zoom. So let's try it, because we just tested it previously. It didn't work. So so I'm going to stop screen sharing and can you try just test the screen sharing?
No good.
All right. I think I have no other choice than to make you host. I hope if I make you host that the live streaming doesn't get disrupted, but if it does, well, forgive me, I'm going to upload it afterwards, everything. All right, I'll make you host. It's weird because Zoom used to have like an option, like to make someone a co-host or just, you know, allow you to screen share. But now, I don't know, Zoom is really weird lately. I mean, and I have a premium version of it. I've got the premium version, so I paid for that shit, you know? So I'm just going to make you a host, man, and just try screen sharing. But I think it's live streaming still. Beautiful. It's still live streaming. All right.
Okay.
Awesome. There you go. Yeah. All right.
Okay, great. So
go ahead.
So it's, you know, it's all very simple. You get it installed, and you can watch my videos or on how to do that, how to install it, how to verify it. And I'll just go through kind of US dollar and the American market. Obviously, you can use it in the European market. So everything here is peer-to-peer, and you have the offer book, and you can see these are people selling. These are listings to sell, listings to buy. And you can look down here and you can see the fiat value, the Bitcoin value, and the equivalent price in US dollar. And the people that have put up this offer. So you can sell them your Bitcoin, or you can buy Bitcoin from these people.
Mm-hmm.
So if we go to buy Bitcoin, because that's what everyone should be doing, And so I'm using a fresh version. So when you have your account set up, you know, everything will be white, but I just didn't want to use my my working version of it just in case, since we're live. And so you can go through the book here and buy, right? So if we look at this, can you see my mouse?
Yeah.
Can you see my pointer?
Yep.
Can I highlight? Let me see if I can. All right, so you have a price here, and then this percentage in parentheses is the percent above the market price, okay? And as a seller, whoever puts up this listing can decide what they want to pay. You will pay 2.5% more than the current market price. And to give people some comparison, everywhere that you would buy, like let's use Cash App, which is popular, extremely popular on Bitcoin Twitter, you will pay something like 1 to 2%, depending on what you're buying, but it's safe to figure like 1.5%. So you may be paying a premium here, but you're paying for privacy, because this is not KYC Bitcoin, this Bitcoin is not associated with your KYC information, okay? There's no such thing as KYC Bitcoin, non-KYC Bitcoin. But this Bitcoin is not associated with any KYC Bitcoin, so it's better for your privacy, right? Just generally, doing it this way preserves your privacy, which in turn may enhance your security. So the amount here, the equivalent in dollar amount based on the current market price and the exchange rate, which is currently 93.87. The payment method, Zelle. So in my experience, I have only used this method. And this method, for anyone not in the US, is some type of back office, bank to bank infrastructure where you can instantly send payments between almost any US bank. And, you know, you send to a phone number or an email, which is nice, because I don't think you see their banking information necessarily all the time. You just see whatever that identifiable information is, right? Because you have to register them on your end. So I've only used that, and it's worked phenomenally. I've never had any issues with chargebacks, because as far as I know, that payment is almost instant and unreversible. It's very hard to even talk to any, like, a Zelle customer service or to find out. But as far as I know, it's a final payment for all intents and purposes. I've never had any chargeback issues with that. And I want to make sure everyone understands, when using BISC, this is my personal opinion, people may disagree, but it is always advantageous to be a buyer of Bitcoin and a seller of fiat, because you cannot get charged back. You have the Bitcoin, it is done, okay? Right. When you sell Bitcoin, there's always even the slightest possibility, if there's a chargeback, your Bitcoin is gone and so is the money. So
depending on the platform,
you just have to assume, Zelle, as far as I know, the chargeback risk is almost nothing. Okay. But in the fiat system, you are still, there's never an assurance there, because you're playing by their rules. Everything is through their centralized institution. So always know. Right now, other payment methods, I can't speak to them, but the chargeback risk is higher, you know, especially things like Venmo. I don't know if BISC even messes with those anymore, but you know, a Venmo or a PayPal, the chargeback risk is high. And I don't know if BISC uses them because of that, but I certainly would never ever use those, because I don't ever want to deal with any potential for chargeback. I don't like it. I don't feel comfortable. But with Zelle. I've never had that problem. But again, you just always have to be aware, unless you cash, unless you're using cash, unless you do send cash by mail, you know, there's always the slightest possibility of a chargeback. So if you're selling Bitcoin, if you're buying Bitcoin though, Bitcoin transactions are not reversible, so you're good. So you can take the offer, and you know, I have to set up an account, so I may not be able to show that. But just kind of high level, and for, you know, if you want to see a transaction being made and how to set everything up, go watch my BIS tutorials on the website, and I take you through every single aspect, every setting, what's what, why it's there, how it works, how to set up your payment account, how to back it up, everything you need to know. And it's really simple. This is a really simple piece of software. It might be intimidating at first because of, you know, all this information, but it is a very simple, very reliable. I've had maybe one software issue in the 3+ years I've used it, and it was fixable. So all your funds here, you have a wallet. If you ever set up a wallet, you know, you have a seed. They have a little bit of a different mechanism for generating the seed. It's associated with, I think, a date as well. I'm not sure how they generate it, but anyway, you have your wallet here.
But what's important, because you know, before we start recording, I mentioned to you that I finally managed to do one, just for the sake of testing and understanding education, to do one you know, transfer or transaction. I bought a little bit of Bitcoin, and you know, I think it was a couple of bugs in there, because you know, I deposited a, you know, I did the deposit funding, but then it didn't work out. So I transferred a little bit more than was actually necessary. And then finally, when I restarted the whole system, it finally went through, and then I was allowed to transfer the remaining, you know, required amount to the seller, to his bank account in somewhere in Poland. So, and then it worked. So I'm just waiting, you know, till he, whatever he, she receives it, and then I get automatically. So there is a deposit required, right? You know, minute percentage, something like that, right? Of the total amount.
What do you, deposit of what? Oh, when you make
into the escrow account, into the escrow, right?
Yeah, yeah. So it's important for anyone, for everyone to understand, to use BISC, you already have to have some Bitcoin, right? So you can't come here with no Bitcoin, because the whole point is you're using Bitcoin, and you need to use Bitcoin to create the contract, essentially, right? If you want to buy or sell, you have to deposit for security a little bit of Bitcoin, right? And so you have to find a way to get the Bitcoin, whether out of band, whether it's, you know, hopefully you can find another medium, maybe a face-to-face transaction, you know someone, or maybe you have to buy a little on KYC. Unfortunately, you know, that's just the way it is these days. A couple of years ago, there were a lot more options to buy KYC-less Bitcoin easily. It's become more challenging, unfortunately.
Just for understanding, you know, because there's not so many platforms. There's a BISC network, there's HODL, which you just previously told me that you're only able to do on BISC because it is, what is it? I mean, HODL is like restricted to specific.
When I tried using it a year ago, it just seemed to be very European centric, and they did not have much, I think, liquidity in the US. And so there was no benefit to me. You know, BISC seems to have quite, you know, European liquidity, US liquidity. So I've just always used BISC, and I'd never had a reason to use anything else.
Okay, gotcha.
But the more the merrier. There needs to be more. There needs to be way
we
more.
Need much more, you know, what do you call it, alternative methods and options, and you know, especially the more you, I think it will become eventually more and more usable and smoother, the whole process, the whole procedure, UX, UI, usability, you know, for the really average user, that would be awesome because, you know, fuck KYC. I mean, this is just totally irresponsible in my eyes. I think people don't understand the consequences.
I will say, BISC is phenomenal for this reason, but when I made my videos for BISC, you know, everything that I do it, you know, just out of love, right? So I have no expectation of anything. But when I made it, that they had rolled out their BSQ token, and so individuals who contribute to BISC can file essentially like a pull request on GitHub and be compensated for their contributions. And so I decided to do that, and I was compensated for my the videos that I created. So awesome. They've really created an amazing place where people can actually get paid for what they're doing, and then convert that, sell that BSQ token for Bitcoin, right? Awesome. And I did that, and it was flawless. No KYC, no anything. I mean, it's really like the dream. Like they're really walking that path, and their actions really speak very loudly. I mean, they're about it and they're creating it. And I just wish there was more of it. You know, the financialization of Bitcoin is a double-sided coin. Like it's good and it's also bad, right?
Right.
Because of just all of this KYC-ness. And I don't believe we need to fit, you know, the peg, the square into the hole. Like we don't need to try to make Bitcoin to fit into the financial system, you know? Right. Change the fucking financial system. It's fucked up.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, to make a comparison, I mean, you know, I understand, you know, why people, you know, I still have a Kraken account, but the thing is, you know, I mean, yeah, they're reliable, trustworthy. I mean, I don't know, I mean, I'm a layman, but just also from other testimonials, they say, you know, they have a top-notch security service, and especially the lowest transaction fees. Now, this is the trade-off, right? In BISC, of course, you gotta like accept the trade-off. You pay not only that premium that you just mentioned, but also there's higher transaction fees, right? I mean,
No, well, there are no transaction fees. There are just whatever the individual placing the buy or the sell, right?
Oh, that's it. Offer. Okay.
That's
gotcha.
It. So
that's
it. So all if you don't want to pay any fees, create a new offer create a new offer to buy Bitcoin and say, I want to buy it at market price, and then wait for someone to take your offer. Now, BISC has to stay on the whole time. Otherwise, because of the peer-to-peer nature of this software, you have to be online for your offer to be online. So, but you don't have to pay that. I mean, it's really like, just do whatever you want. You don't want to pay a premium, then put up an offer, and it's called an offer technically. Put up an offer and just wait for someone to take it. That's it. You know, it's a very just kind of free market, like, this is what I want to do. Do you want to, you know, interact with me? Okay, if not, go somewhere else. There are people that are just exorbitant. I mean, there are people here, 50%, they just like have it sit there waiting for FOMO or waiting for some moron to come and pay a premium because they're so terrified they're not going to get Bitcoin. And hey, if someone's going to pay that, so be it, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's so many times when it's just like the order book is just so frothy with just people, greedy, you know, people want to sell you Bitcoin for like 25% above spot. It's just like, fuck off.
Oh, come on. That's okay. Yeah. That's not free market. I mean, I believe that's
free will choice. If someone wants to pay that, so be it, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, it's fine. I would never pay it. It's laughable, but, I can't speak highly enough of BISC. It's phenomenal, and they've been doing it for so many years now, and more and more people are contributing, and it's great.
So are there any other details that you know, people should know, like
maybe if you think there are things, I've used it so much, you know, I don't have like a new eyes perspective on it.
How long does it take till you get your? I mean, you work. Okay, you transfer your fiat with Zelle, and how long does it take until you the whole transaction is complete? You get your Bitcoin in your address, at least in your BISC address.
Yeah. So if you go and you watch my video, that transaction was literally, I made it. I took someone's order, and I think it was start to finish completed, transferred into my hardware wallet in an hour or 2 hours. I don't know exactly, I'd have to look it up, but faster than it would be with many centralized exchanges, right?
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. It can be extremely fast. Now, the trade has 4 days. So you have 4 steps, right? You take the offer, that transaction has to clear because it's the multi-sig. Once once that transaction confirms, then you exchange via the fiat rail, right? Through Zelle, you send or you
and
receive.
You have to stay online, right? Until
No,
I mean the process until the seller confirms that that he or she that the seller accepts the. I read something about that, like you in some kind of a during this process somewhere. You need to stay online with your...
Yeah, right? I believe you need to be online the entire time your offer's up. Your offer's taken, mm-hmm. I think once your offer's taken and the multi-sig is, that multi-sig transaction's confirmed, then I don't think you need to be online. You can make the fiat payment, then go back on. And then once the other party confirms they've received the fiat, then the Bitcoin in the multi-sig BISC prompts you and says, okay, do you want to send this to an external wallet or do you want to transfer it into your wallet?
Right. Gotcha.
And it's done. Just like that, okay. It's finished.
All right. So, anything comes to your mind before we, maybe slowly, gradually wrap up? I mean, because I think that's more than enough knowledge and education for precious knowledge that you're giving. Is there anything like comes to your mind that people should be aware of or be careful, whatever, or just educate themselves on?
You should be aware of the trade-offs when you are submitting KYC to a centralized party. That information can leak. There have been many, many times where people's driver's licenses, passport information.
Yeah, that's the dangerous part. This is like totally leaked. Irresponsible.
The threat model, you should think about what the threat model is. I choose to have the state be my threat model because if I'm shooting for that, then everything else underneath will probably be taken care of. And I don't assume that I could, do anything against the state. If they're going to come after you, you're fucked. So just be aware.
Yeah. It's on two fronts. It's the state, the government. And on the other side, if those, really delicate, really sensible information gets leaked out. You've got like $5 wrench attacks by criminals.
Right. That's when the lower vectors of attack become a problem, right? So you want to guard against that. Always use separate emails. If for every KYC exchange, use an individual email, use unique passwords. Always never use a two-factor SMS. So that's always good things to do because if you have information leaked and an email gets leaked, it doesn't affect anything else. So those are easy things to do to protect your money, really, because you're protecting your privacy only because that affects potentially your money, right?
Right.
If your bank account information gets leaked, well, that sucks, but that centralized institution they're the ones spending the money to protect your money. So you don't have as much to worry about.
Right. So when it comes to other tutorials or education, how to do things, like like for example, running a full node, you're more specialized, like you do more like on the noddle, right? Because I have a Mynode full node. So
Yeah.
are you thinking of doing like more
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's just low-hanging fruit. You know, I got a Noddle and I wanted to make videos
Of
about
course.
that so that people can see. And then when I'm done with that, which will be, I'm going to do a BTC pay server video on Noddle, and also not because more people don't have it, Noddle. And then Samurai wallet, and then I want to do Mynode. I want to do, you know, I have an old laptop I want to repurpose. There's so many, I mean, there's so many things to do. It's just finding the time. So there's plenty of videos to be made, you know. It just takes time. It
I
takes a lot
feel
of
you.
time with it, because I have to think about like how to make every little thing simple enough, yet describe everything so that there's no doubt, no confusion. Because if someone doesn't understand even what this little thing does here, then they might feel uncomfortable about the whole process. So you got to
Exactly.
go through every little bit. So it's just, you know, finding the time.
Right. So, the trade-offs, I think people need to understand are really worth it to accept, because usually, like if you go on Kraken or any other centralized exchange, you transfer the money from your bank account, before that you do a full, you gotta become totally naked. You give them all your data, your passport, your utility address, your address, I mean, everything, right?
Yeah.
So the main, I think I would say the main trade-off is that, okay, you have to go a little bit through a little bit more hops and procedures in this peer-to-peer network, right? Decentralized peer-to-peer, totally non-KYC, but you pay maybe a little bit more premium above the, what do you call it, like the
Market price.
current market price, right? So
Right.
right.
Yeah,
So
your privacy costs a little bit more, and you have to see if that's worth it to you. You know, I think it
exactly.
is. It's easy. You know, auto buy has become a very popular thing. All these auto buy apps, Cash App now has auto buy, and there are other companies that are doing it, and that's great. Setting it and forgetting it's great. I've recommended that to a couple of people, but is that ideal? Not in my eyes. It's simple, you know, it's easy, but I prefer to still have my Bitcoin not linked to KYC. I just wonder, I don't know. I don't know if it's everyone has to just feel that out for themselves and decide what they want to do. You know, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe it doesn't matter if it's KYC, because something's going to change in the future. You know, my friend was telling me in Portugal that they don't charge any tax on cryptocurrency gains.
Where is that? Where?
Portugal.
Portugal. Oh,
He's Portuguese.
I
And
heard
he's
of it.
like, well, I have dual citizenship, so why wouldn't I go there? And you know, if I need to sell Bitcoin, I'll do it there, right? And his dad's like, I need to buy Bitcoin. So how do I do it? So I told him, do this, Cash App. Buy it, just set it and forget it. Don't worry about the price. Don't trade it. You know, just buy it. But different sovereigns are going to be like, well, we see the value and we're going to incentivize this. So if you don't compete, and if you just try to, you know, onerously tax, like what is the in America, like when you spend it, you have to pay tax on it. I mean, that can't last. That's nonsense. You know, but the more places that create no taxes on any cryptocurrency gains, none. Well, fuck. How much does it cost to become a citizen? 100 grand? No problem. You know, if you're a Bitcoin whale, then you're gonna just drop money left and right. You know, I'm citizen here, citizen there. If you have enough Bitcoin, it is in your benefit to renounce your U.S. citizenship,
Yeah,
right?
definitely. Yeah, definitely.
So.
So the tax situation is in Austria and Germany pretty much the same. You don't pay any cap after 1 year. If you can HODL for 1 year, after 1 year, you don't pay any capital gains tax. But still,
That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
But let's see, how things go. Case, I think we need to repeat this sometime in the near future, as soon as you have, you know, more amazing, you know, educational stuff coming up, and keep up the great work. It's really fascinating.
Thank you.
People, where can people find you? I'm gonna put, I mean, I showed that anyway at the beginning, but on Twitter, we can find you on
Yeah,
Case Bitcoin.
Twitter, keep it simple, bitcoin.com, and just sign up for the email list. That's the best way, the most direct way, for us to stay in contact. I will post on YouTube trailers for the videos, but everything will be only on the website. I'm not going to put my fate in, any centralized party's hands. It's crazy. It's crazy to build any kind of, in this day and age, with all this censorship and all this nonsense that's going on, that people build these businesses on top of other businesses that tell you that they can do whatever they want to your business.
Crazy.
It's madness.
It's really, it's
Right. I think people, people see the zeitgeist move in, like, podcasting's gotten big, right? Everyone does a podcast. So people see other people doing this, so they do it.
Right.
But I see censorship rising, and I see the future as being more decentralized, and you can have more control of your fate. You just have to set the, you have to set the foundation for that. So I feel like that's what I'm doing. And it might be a slower process, but I'm okay with that. And just hope that people find my stuff and it helps them. If it only helps one person, I've done my job. Like, that's good enough for me. So that's why I'm doing it. Just to help.
Dude, Case, I really appreciate what you're doing, and hope this
Thank
is
you.
actually
I
the second
appreciate it.
time. This is actually the second time, right? You're on the, because we had, I think we had talk, right, with
Yeah, we had a
Stephanie von
conversation.
Jahn, and who was it
Yeah.
again? Ben? Was it Ben Kaufman, I think?
And then I think another person too, Steven, Stefan. I don't remember his name. We had a
Exactly.
little we had a panel discussion, yeah. A
Yeah, it
few
was.
months back. Yeah.
Yeah,
I look
awesome.
I really love what you're doing too. I mean, you're putting out great content. I watch most of it. It's
Yeah, I'm
fantastic.
doing whatever it takes. You know, I really want some critical adoption rate, but whatever it is, you know, the average user, the merchants, especially now, I really want to push the merchants, like adopting Bitcoin, you know, preparing themselves with a full node. So maybe, you know, maybe we could even integrate your work once we start over here in Austria. Maybe with Sven Schnieders, he also wants to do some, you know, consulting work for merchants, businesses, small businesses. Like really, preparation is everything, and I think there's a process, there's a science behind it, how we can do this, right?
Yeah, you know what I'd love to do? I think, it would be great with you. I'd love to just, like, bullshit and chit chat, just like on more, just like the esoteric kind of, like, there's so many Bitcoin podcasts out there, and they're great, but it's so financialized,
Totally
intellectualized,
intellectual.
like there are very few. So, you bring it up sometimes, right? But
But
I
people
felt like,
don't get it, I think, with my questions.
no, and
Sometimes I'm
that's fine.
like
It's just for, yeah, it's for whoever, is into that, right? Whoever, like, vibrates kind of with that wave. But I could hear it sometimes with you, and so I was like, oh, it's there. And also with, like, John Vallis, he's done a couple of episodes, and sometimes he'll talk about stuff. But just that kind of flavor of it, because I think there isn't much of that. So I'd love to just, like, bullshit and talk about those kind of things. I had a conversation yesterday with Crypto Creamers, and that video is going to come soon. And we kind of just got into that too, just a conversation, a little bit about that. That more, I don't know what to call it. Just not so intellectualized, not so, quantified. More just, bigger picture, more philosophized, just more of that kind of talk. Because I think some people, I certainly did, when they get Bitcoin and it's like it just, like, hits them, it's like it hits them deep, right? They just like feel it, you know, and it's, that's important too. You know, let's not forget, you know, not, you know, your intuition also matters. Like, yeah, you make financial decisions based on numbers, but people also make decisions also based on like, oh, go with your gut. So that's a very real thing.
Right.
And another thing that we talked about yesterday, which was so interesting, was this, we just started talking about like artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And how I've noticed in society this glamorization of becoming a computer.
Yeah.
Like, oh, humans should aspire to this pinnacle of turning into a computer and melding with a computer. And it's like, wait, but you don't, like, have you even explored what it is to be a human? Like, like there's so much there to, you know, with personal development and just going in within yourself that most people haven't even looked at.
Yeah, like, and I've tried, seriously, dude, I mean, bro, I've tried to go into this rabbit hole, but I'm sometimes, I think maybe people are not ready yet, I'm not sure, but you know, my main branding is actually the Total Connector. There was a reasoning, right. There was a purpose behind this name or title, the Total Connector, because I was like, maybe it's time now. Maybe we don't have time for all this bullshit and revolutions, but really time for evolutionary thinking, comprehension, you know,
right.
Physicality, spirituality, materialism, physicality, money, essence, you know, like what is essence of creation? What is artificial intelligence? You know,
right.
And why are we doing this? I mean, and this is the main question I ask people, like, what is your vision for the future? What is the data lives of people going to look like? Because at the end of the day, Bitcoin is a tool, right? But the tool, you know, serves something. It should serve something like a much bigger picture, much, you know, maybe something beyond our comprehension level of imagination. And so we have already so many technologies just, you know, hiding in the closets that will come out that just serve to be humanity or serve to be, you know, a human existence. But maybe we can, totally. we should continue with that.
Yeah, we should. I think we should just kind of like, let's see how that evolves. But, you know, maybe every X amount of time, whatever, just talk and let's get into that. And if people resonate and there are people, you know, other people who want to talk about stuff like that. And, you know, because it'll go down different rabbit holes and things that like people need to go and step into. Like, you're not gonna open like your news feed and see some of this shit. Like, you have to go deep and like resonate and look into some of these things, you know, some of these topics and other things, like maybe, you know, hidden technologies, right? Maybe right. You know, things that people consider like conspiracy or woo-woo or whatever, right? But I just think, you know, you take it back to like basic, you take it back to the individual, like, hey, haven't you ever experienced something like had a weird experience, or maybe you had someone in your life who said that they could see the future or they did this, or, you know, like individuals anchor with their experiences. So if you or I have a crazy experience, we can try to describe that to someone else, but they don't get it. And I feel like it's the same with Bitcoin. You may try to tell someone how amazing Bitcoin is, but if they don't get it, they don't understand what you understand, because like they have to experience it for themselves.
Right.
So it'd be cool to do something like that. Yeah. Let's think about it, whatever, you know, however it works out, but that'd be fun to talk about.
Yeah. It'd be my pleasure, man. So, hey, have a good day, dude, and let's talk soon. And thanks so much for sharing your knowledge, all right?
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, so what you think about this amazing, really deep down the rabbit hole talk with KS, KS Bitcoin? Make sure you follow him on Twitter and on his website. That's his Twitter handle is KIS Bitcoin.
His website is keepitsimplebitcoin.com, where you can find all his education materials, videos, and other resource articles coming up, and on his YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/kissbitcoin. And yeah, make sure you think about it, you understand the trade-offs when you go on a centralized exchange, but it's relatively easy, just a little bit more hops and maybe a few more procedures before you can complete full peer-to-peer decentralized fiat for Bitcoin exchange, whatever payment method you can use, whether it's a bank account, Zelle, or whatever there is available on in options. So yeah, please like it, retweet it, reshare it to your friends, neighbors, families, wherever you are. And thank you so much again. Please, I would also appreciate a positive reply, a positive feedback on one of the podcast platforms on YouTube. Please give it a subscribe, follow me on Twitter. And thanks so much for support and for listening. I'll talk to you soon.